Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. This 10th leper prostrated himself, fell on his face at Jesus' feet, and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. We begin in the name of our good and gracious God. Amen. Cultivating an attitude of gratitude is common practice these days, both in secular and spiritual form. Today we celebrate Thanksgiving Day, for instance, the observance of which has been in our Episcopal tradition since at least the proposed prayer book of 1786. Spiritually, often practices like the daily examine begin with gratitude, giving thanks for the gifts that God's love has given us this day. In our time, one person has made gratefulness his message, Brother David Stindl-Rast, a Benedictine monk. Stindl-Rast is the founder of the Grateful Living Network. An unassuming 94-year-old Austrian-born monk, he describes gratefulness as a response to something of value being given freely. This spiritual practice of grateful living is a disposition that leads to wholeness and to health. It is both an indicator of transformation underway and is transformational. We see this in our gospel today, a multi-layered, multifaceted healing that brings about greater wholeness and restoration in community. Jesus is traveling in the liminal space between Samaria and Galilee as part of his long journey towards Jerusalem in Luke's gospel. He's on a mission, on his way, the text says. And here he allows an interruption in his plans. In that less populated area, Jesus comes upon a community of lepers who properly keep their distance. Lepers are physically and ritually unclean and thus physically set apart from the community. And so they cry out to Jesus, "Have mercy on us." Friends, this year we need to pause here. In today's hearing, we understand what physical distancing feels like. We can imagine this scene and feel the emotion of it. A year ago, physical distancing, social distancing, quarantine, isolation. A year ago, these words were not part of our normal lexicon. They weren't words that we saw on street signs as we were walking through our neighborhood, because these realities were not part of our collective experience. This year, we might understand in a new way why a group who had to keep their distance might risk approaching the one who could heal them physically, emotionally, spiritually. Jesus, have mercy on us. Hearing this passage here on Thanksgiving Day perhaps only amplifies our ability to empathize with the socially isolated lepers. It's possible that you've been able to mitigate risk wisely enough to be physically present with your loved ones, but many of us are feeling the absence today. We are missing our families. We're missing our friends. We're missing shared food. We're missing hugs. And yes, we are doing the best we can to be present to those emotions in a way that does not overcome us. And we parents perhaps are overcompensating to make Thanksgiving feel like Thanksgiving for our children. The desire for healing and for restoration of community is strong. Jesus, have mercy on us. Returning to our story, this physically and socially distant group of lepers crying out to Jesus, have mercy on us. And Jesus sends them to the priest away from him. Any physical and ritual healing that happens takes place off stage, as it were. But the 10th leper, having cried out for mercy, having been physically healed, having come to a self-awareness that healing had taken place, runs back to Jesus, falls on his face, prostrate at Jesus' dirty feet, a dramatic posture, and gives thanks and glory to God. And again, in this moment, he is made well. Jesus says to him, "Get up and go." This scene happens as an interruption in Jesus' plans. This isn't how it is supposed to go. Yet true to Jesus' mission, he allows himself to be inconvenienced by human need, and in this case by a Samaritan, a foreigner, an outsider. This is the one who goes not to the temple, as the other nine were doing in obedience to Jesus' word, and perhaps were doing out of deep longing to be back in the temple, a longing that we might be sympathetic to be back here in our sacred space together, to experience our beautiful music live, to watch the sunlight coming in through the stained glass, to smell the incense, to smile across the pews at friends new and old. Jesus, have mercy on us. But the Samaritan, living on the margins and having no place in the temple, he goes back to Jesus. Why is it that outsiders so often recognize and reveal to us who Jesus is? Why is it that gratitude, deeper wholeness, and conversion towards Christ is revealed by the one in the story considered to be not like us? And who today, who we perceive to be outside our community, could show to us a truer, more faith-filled response if we allow our perceived mission to be interrupted by them? Who, seeming to be outside us, might be able to teach us how to better build and engage and evangelize and form as Jesus' followers? If we change the story just a bit and hear the message of giving thanks and praise to God, not from a sweet old monk who delivers TED Talks and interviews on being with Krista Tippett, do we hear how Jesus allowed himself to be interrupted by this person, a Samaritan, doubly an outsider by illness and social location? Then one of them, when they saw that they were healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And this 10th leper prostrated themselves, fell on their face at Jesus' feet, and thanked him. And this person was a person experiencing homelessness who walks past our church on a Sunday. A person from a different political background, maybe who voted for someone we could not even imagine voting for. A person who spent their childhood in a refugee camp, waiting 10 years to be selected by our country to come, and who's in the process of paying back all expenses. And yet perhaps we pass by, seeming like they maybe don't belong here. A person who somehow I have deemed other than me, and that frightens me. The thing about grateful living, the seemingly tame monk David Stendhal Ross has noted, is that gratefulness is revolutionary. When we are grateful, he says, we are not fearful. When we are not fearful, we are not violent. When we are grateful, we act out of a sense of enough and not a sense of scarcity. When we are grateful, we enjoy the difference between people, and that changes the power pyramid, who's in and who's out, under which we live. So I'm wondering about this interruption today and the grace and connection of the moment. I am wondering about the experience of social isolation, especially on this holiday, and the longing for a cure and a return to community. Perhaps spend some time with these lepers today. And I'm wondering about how our own spiritual practice of gratitude might fling us at the feet of Christ, even in this time of pandemic and grief. How it might draw us more deeply to Jesus and to those who Jesus loves, especially those we might consider to be an outsider. It is to the Eucharistic table we soon will turn, our table of giving thanks, of spiritually falling at Jesus' feet, only to be sent out again, get up and go, into the world of interruptions and of grace. Friends, abundant blessings this Thanksgiving. Amen.